British Sky Broadcasting presents Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, Kathleen Quinlan, Jolie Richardson, Jack Noseworthy, Jason Isaacs, Richard T. Jones, and Sean Pertwee in Event Horizon, voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. Stars shine in the night sky. Vortex of milky light spirals around a core of darkness. Pass through the vortex. A printout reads 2015. First permanent colony established on Moon. 2032. Commercial mining begins on Mars. 2040. Deep space research vessel Event Horizon launched to explore boundaries of solar system. She disappears without trace beyond the eighth planet, Neptune. It is the worst space disaster on record. 2047. Now. A meteorite, backlit by a bright star, hurtles towards us through space. It brushes past close by. A vast blue planet looms in the blackness of space. It is orbited by fine rings of blue dust. Also hanging in the planet's orbit is a huge spaceship, composed of a main front hull joined by a long thin gantry to a smaller rear hull, from which protrude a pair of stubby tail wings. The noise of thunder comes from vast electrical storms flashing in the planet's atmosphere. Within the smaller rear hull shine banks of green light panels. In the zero-gravity environment float a bottle of water, a book, a flask, a mirror. A long walkway, presumably the spindly gantry from the inside, extends into blackness. A plastic cup floats past, and a wristwatch. In a shadowy, misty chamber, a human body revolves weightlessly. Its eye sockets are empty, and the mouth is open in a silent scream. A man wakes as if from a terrible dream. He looks around him and turns off his alarm. He lies between clean sheets. On the wall by his bed are stuck up several photos of people.
Claire.
He unsticks one of the photos and rolls up to sit on the edge of his bed. He studies the photo. His brow furrows slightly.
I miss you.
He places the picture, which is of a striking woman in her late 30s with a mane of golden curls, on a shelf with numerous other pictures of her, either alone or with him. The man stands at a bathroom mirror, his face lathered, a cutthroat razor in his right hand. His attention is caught by the dripping of the bath tap. He gives it a worried look and then turns back to the mirror. He holds the blade of the razor to his throat for an ominous moment before recommencing shaving. The man, now dressed, presses a button on a tiled corridor wall, causing a metal grill to roll upwards. He walks slowly towards a tightly riveted porthole window. He is aboard a space station of some sort, composed of a series of canister-shaped hulls held together by miles of metal scaffold. As the station rotates above the blue of the earth, it becomes evident quite what a vast structure it is. A printout reads, Daylight Station, Low Earth Orbit.
Dr. Weir, report to the Lewis and Clark in Docking Bay 4.
A vessel glides through space. A printout reads, USAC vessel Lewis and Clark. Category, search and rescue. Mission, top secret.
I ain't drive set.
Thank you. Heading, vector 19 degrees.
A man in a forage cap pilots the vessel.
We are threat full lockdown. I can't believe this is ridiculous. I've got more than my hand in the last 6 weeks and I'm out of this shit. Wait, why can't we go to Mars, Captain? And on Mars has got women.
That's right. Neptune, there's nothing out there.
Yeah, and if the shit goes down, we'll be on our own.
You know the rules, people. If someone drops the ball, we get the call. Now, let's go. So you got a course plotted in?
Yes, sir.
Locked and cocked and ready to rock.
Mr. Justin?
Everything's green on my screen, Skipper.
Start your countdown now.
Ion drive will engage in T-minus 10 minutes.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Let's go.
Smith, you follow me.
Yes, ma'am.
Justin, get those tanks prepped.
Yes, sir.
The captain descends steps and passes through sliding doors.
Mr. Cooper.
Skipper!
Ion drive in 10 minutes.
Ooh, it's time to play Spam in the Can.
Skipper!
Yes?
Captain Miller, I just wanted to say that this is something...
The clock is ticking, Doctor. You waiting for a personal invitation there, Mr. Smith?
No, sir.
Captain, I don't want to take
Doctor,
any more...
If you'll just follow the rest of the crew to the grav tanks, we're almost underway. That bunk better be squared away, Mr. Cooper, or you'll find yourself walking the Neptune. What's the holdup, Peters?
Just loading the last of the CO2 scrubbers, sir.
You stand right here.
Ow. Thanks, DJ.
That's off the tank, sir.
First time on a grav couch?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think your captain has some kind of a problem with me.
Oh, well, don't worry about him. He just loves having complete strangers on his ship. DJ?
Yeah?
Is this necessary?
When the ion drive fires, you'll be taking about 30 Gs. Without a tank, the force will liquefy your skeleton.
Seen the effect on mice.
He gets into a kind of perspex pod marked Dr. Weir.
Claustrophobic?
Very.
The ship cruises in orbit around Neptune. A printout reads, USAC Lewis and Clark, 56 days out. The cabin is deserted. There is a row of grey spacesuits. Dr. Weir, wearing a breathing mask, dozes in his pod. Weir opens his eyes and looks around him slightly wildly. To his left and right, the other crew members occupy similar pods. They are all hanging suspended in liquid, as is Dr. Weir. He pushes against the perspex door of his pod, his eyes wide and his hair waving around like seaweed. Weir emerges and walks slowly and warily out onto the deck. He surveys the other crew members. He looks sharply to his right into the main cabin.
I'm so alone.
Hello?
He walks up some steps into the adjoining space.
Is anyone there?
He looks around. A sprung hatch shoots up as if by itself. Inside seems to be the personal area of one of the crew members. Weir continues to move cautiously through the functional gangways of the spaceship. Back in the cockpit, he is surprised to see the pilot's chair occupied by a woman.
Billy? I'm so cold.
Weir puts his hand on the back of the chair and spins her gently round. He recognizes her face. A hand grabs his shoulder.
I'm waiting.
Claire's eyes are blood-red sockets. Weir is back in his pod without his breathing mask, thumping on the perspex.
Okay, Dr. Wade, let's get you.
I'm fine.
Come on, take it
I'm
easy.
Fine.
Okay. There you go. Now move nice and slow. You've been in stasis for 56 days. You're going to experience a little disorientation, you understand?
I'm all right now, thank you.
Okay, take that. Don't rush it. All yours.
A black crewman approaches him with a thermos.
You okay, Doc? Want some coffee?
What? Would you like some coffee?
No. Thank you.
All right, suit yourself.
What about you, Stark? Would you like something hot and black inside you?
Ooh, is that an offer?
It is not.
Then I'll have some coffee then.
Stark?
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Why aren't you on the bridge?
Do you mind if I get dressed first?
As a matter of fact, Lieutenant, I do mind if you get dressed first. Let's go, people. We have a job to do.
Okay, Danny, here we go. Happy birthday.
Play horsey, Mommy. Play horsey.
Hey, no more ball in the house.
A female crew member watches a video of the birthday party of a child in a wheelchair.
Sorry about that, Mama Bear.
All right, then.
Peters.
Yes, sir.
I did try to find a replacement for you, but with such short notice, it was impossible. I am sorry.
I talked to my ex. He's going to take Denny for Christmas. I'll get him for the summer, so everything's all right.
Smitty!
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. In approximately 2 hours and 23 minutes, we'll be arriving in the orbit of Neptune. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Ooh, good.
Neptune. All boards are green. Everything's 5x5.
USAC been notified of our position?
Yes, sir.
All right, people, listen up.
DJ.
As you all know, we have an addition to our crew. Dr. Weir, you care to join us? Introductions all around. This is my XO, Lieutenant Stark. Mr. Justin, engineering. The funky spaceman over here is Mr. Cooper. What exactly is it you do on board this ship, Coop?
Listen up, Doc. I'm your best friend, okay? I'm the lifesaver and the heartbreaker.
He's a rescue technician. This is Peters, medical technician, and my pilot, Mr. Smith. The gloomy Gus in the corner over there, that's,
DJ.
Trauma. All right, all right. Now we all know each other. Skipper, I got a question.
Sure.
What the fuck are we doing way out of here?
Oh, perhaps the good doctor will be kind enough to tell us.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say how much I appreciate this opportunity to join you and what
I... We're sure that you appreciate being here, Doctor, but you must understand that we don't. We were taken off a well-deserved leave and sent into Neptune space. We are now 3 billion clicks from the nearest outpost. The last time USAC attempted a rescue this far past the outer reach, well, we lost both ships, so if you please.
All right. Well, everything I'm about to tell you is considered code black by the NSA. USAC intercepted a radio transmission from a decaying orbit around Neptune. The source of this transmission has been identified as the Event Horizon.
Yeah, well, that's bullshit. Start.
Skipper, you took me off leave for the position.
All right.
Let's
just
meet. Cooper,
as you were. Let the man speak.
What was made public about the Event Horizon, that she was a deep space research vessel, that her reactor went critical, and that the ship blew up, none of that is true. The Event Horizon is the culmination of a secret government project to create a spacecraft capable of faster-than-light flight.
Excuse me. You see, you can't actually do that.
The law of relativity prohibits faster-than-light travel.
Relativity, yes, we can't break the law of relativity. Can go around it. Ship doesn't really go faster than light. What it does is it creates a dimensional gateway that allows it to jump instantaneously from one point of the universe to another light years away.
How?
Well, it's difficult to... It's all math.
Try us, Doctor.
Right, well, using layman's terms, use a rotating magnetic field to focus a narrow beam of gravitons. These, in turn, fold space-time consistent with Weyl tensor dynamics until the space-time curvature becomes infinitely large and you produce a singularity. Now, a singularity...
Layman's terms.
Well, fuck layman's terms. Do you speak English?
Imagine for a minute that this piece of paper...
No, excuse me. That's Vanessa, and that's mine.
This attractive piece of paper represents space-time, and you want to get from point A here to point B there. Now, what's the shortest distance between two points?
A straight line.
Wrong. The shortest distance between two points is zero, and that's what the gateway does. It folds space so that point A and point B coexist in the same space and time. When the spacecraft passes through the gateway, space returns to normal. It's called a gravity drive.
How do you know all this?
I built it.
Well, I can see why they sent you.
So if the ship didn't blow up, then what happened?
Well, the mission was going perfectly, like a textbook. They reached safe distance using conventional thrusters. All systems looked good. They had the go-ahead to use the gravity drive to open the gateway to Proxima Centauri. And then they just disappeared, vanished without a trace. Until now.
Where's she been for the last 7 years, Doctor?
That's what we're here to find out. Now, we've been unable to verify live contact. TDRS did receive this single transmission.
The fucking hell is that?
Listen to this. Houston passed the same recording through several filters, managed to isolate what appears to be a human voice. Sure if it qualifies as language.
Latin.
What?
I mean, I think it sounds like Latin.
Can you translate it?
Play it again.
Okay. You hear that?
Sounds like liberate me something. I don't know. I can't make out the rest.
Liberate me.
Save me.
All right, station speaking.
The crew jump to it at the sound of the alarm. The Lewis and Clark thrusts through space, getting closer to Neptune by the moment.
Crossing the horizon. Optimum approach angle is 14 degrees.
Come around to 334.
Heading 334, sir.
Make your approach vector negative 14 degrees.
14 degrees.
The craft maneuvers downwards.
We have a lock-on, Event Horizon's navigation beacon. She's in the upper ionosphere, and it looks like we're in some very heavy chop, sir.
The Lewis and Clark drops down into the atmosphere.
Bring us in nice and tight, Mr. Smith.
Sir?
Mr. Justin, how's my ship?
Smooth sailing, sir.
Matching speed, on my mark. 3, 2, 1, mark. 10,000 meters are closing, sir.
Sir!
Yes, sir!
Get on the horn, see if anybody's listening.
This is the U.S. Aerospace Command vessel Lewis and Clark hailing Event Horizon. Event Horizon, do you read?
Dr. Weir! I think you want to see this.
Where is she? Dead ahead! 5,000 meters!
Sir, anybody home?
Event Horizon, do you read?
3,000 meters are closing! CSA, 1,500 meters, sir, we're getting too close.
Where is it?
The scope is lit, it's right in front of us.
1,000 meters.
Proximity warning.
900. 800. 700. We're right on top of the sun.
We're going to hit.
No!
Right there. Go! We're on top.
The craft stops just in time before the towering metal cliff of the Event Horizon's hull. The reverse thrust rockets are fired. Weir comes to the pilot's windscreen and gazes out at his ship.
There she is.
The Lewis and Clark appears like a horsefly on the flank of the vast spaceship. captain looks on in awe. Justin fixes the event horizon in the sights of a very high-tech periscope.
Jesus.
Very impressive ship, Doctor.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, are you up for a flyby?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'd love to.
Smith maneuvers the Lewis and Clark along the side of the ship, shining a powerful beam of light along the length of the gantry.
That's the main airlock. We can dock in there.
All right, Smith. Use the arm and lock us onto that small antenna cluster.
Smith guides the Lewis and Clark in to dock with a metal structure sticking out of the side of the event horizon.
Go very carefully here. That is not a load-bearing structure. Here's now, Doctor.
Everything 5x5.
Locked into the event horizon.
Thank you, Smitty. Light him if you got him.
Thank you very much, sir.
Stark, give me a read.
The reactor's still hot. We've got several small radiation sources, but their leaks probably. It's nothing serious.
Do they have pressure?
Affirmative. The hull's intact, but there's no gravity and the thermal units are offline. I'm showing deep cold. The crew couldn't survive unless they're in stasis.
Find them, Stark.
Yeah, I'm already on it, Captain. Bioscan is on the line. There's something wrong with the scan.
Is it radiation interference?
There's not enough to throw it off. I'm picking up trace life forms, but I can't get a lock on a location. These readings are all over the ship. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, we do it the hard way, deck by deck, room by room. Start deploy the umbilicus. Smitty, fire up the boards in the war room.
Sir?
Mr. Justin, I believe you're up for a walk.
Yes, sir.
The crew get going enthusiastically.
Doctor, I'm going to need you here on the bridge.
Captain, I didn't come out all this way just to sit on your bridge. I need to be on that ship.
Once we've secured the ship, we'll bring you on board.
I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. I need to be on that ship.
Once we've secured the ship, that's the way it is. I need you to guide us from the comm station. This is where I need you. Help us do our job.
A cylindrical extension protrudes from the nose of the Lewis and Clark. Two crew members are geared up in spacesuits.
Oh, Hunt. You forgot your briefcase.
Cooper jokingly hands Justin a piece of equipment in a shiny metal case. The cylinder extending from the nose of the Lewis and Clark is now recognizable as an airlocked gangway.
Stand clear! Anything gets funky, Cooper?
I'll be on it! Yo, baby, back! Keep your nose clean.
The two astronauts are lowered into the gangway.
DJ, showtime.
Video feed is clear.
Are you with us, Dr. Weir?
Yes, I'm with you.
We are crossing the umbilicus, making our approach to the event horizon.
You're at the outer airlock door.
Magnetic boots on.
Justin inserts a rotary tool into a kind of lock.
We've got pressure.
As the airlock door opens, a great white cloud explodes back into the umbilicus. Weir and Stark look on from the bridge. Inside the event horizon, various items of detritus, bottles, tools, nuts and bolts, float down the long walkway.
Place is a deep freeze. We got ice crystals everywhere.
That's the central corridor that you're in now. It connects the personnel areas at the front of the ship to engineering at the rear.
Mr. Justin, you take engineering.
Yes, sir.
Peters and I'll take the forward decks.
Justin heads off one way while Captain Miller and Peters walk along the gangway together between the pieces of floating junk and showers of ice crystals.
Doctor, what are these?
Yeah, I've got another one over here. They're all over the place.
In an emergency, they destroy the central corridor and split the ship in half. And then the crew can use the forward decks as a lifeboat.
A heavy metal door slides open to reveal a room full of high-tech equipment.
I'm in medical. No casualties. Place looks like it's never been used.
You still haven't seen any crew?
If we saw any crew, Doctor, you'd know it by now. Scanning for life readings.
This place is a tomb.
A glove collides with Miller's visor.
Miller, are you okay?
Looks like Skipper got a case of the willies.
Could they get back to your post? Miller, your heart rate just
went through the roof. I'm fine.
Justin has arrived at a set of large metal doors framed around with green light panels.
I think I've reached the door to the first containment, Dr. Weir.
The engineering decks are on the other side.
Okay, let's take a look.
Justin presses a button to the side of the door. It slides open to reveal a metal gangway suspended within a revolving cylinder which is punched through with holes and covered in spiral formations of metal blades.
What the hell is this place, Dr. Weir?
It allows you to enter the second containment without compromising the magnetic fields.
Looks like a meat grinder to me.
The petals of a complex metal door slide open.
I'm on the bridge.
Peters shines the beam of her lamp into the deserted bridge room. On the corner of one console is a blotch of red.
Got some blood here.
Peters fails to notice the walls to her right. They are covered all over in a mess of red, fibrous material. A metal door unfolds, admitting Justin into the second containment. Great blobs of a silvery fluid float around.
There must have been a coolant leak. Man, this shit is everywhere. Coolant level's on reserve, but well within the safety line.
Justin wipes a blob of coolant from the controls. Peters walks cautiously through the darkened bridge room.
Miss Peters, could you turn back and left?
What is it?
Ship's log.
Peters approaches a substantial bank of computer hardware. She presses a button to eject a disk. The disk emerges halfway, but Peters can't get it out fully.
Stuck. It's pretty jammed in there.
As she pulls out the disk, she is suddenly confronted by the horrifically mutilated face of a floating corpse.
What the hell happened to his eyes?
Explosive decompression.
Decompression doesn't do that. Looks like it was caused by it. I don't know, an animal or something. Another damage to the soft tissue. Massive abrasions.
Corpsicle.
I'm scanning for life forms.
Justin shines a beam of green light, illuminating various pieces of machinery.
Man, I'm getting some really strange readings in here.
The beam of green continues glancing around the chamber. A strangely patterned metal sphere stands in the center. Three flat metal rings encircling the sphere rotate in various directions.
Let me see if I can get some power up.
The sphere and the rings continue to rotate. The edge of each ring is set with bright white lights.
That's the core of gravity drive. The heart of the ship.
Justin comes close to the massive sphere. The rings all converge and come to a halt.
Justin? Justin, you're breaking up!
One of the circular patterns on the sphere unlocks itself and opens up. Bright light comes from inside, blinding Justin.
Justin, come in!
Justin takes his hands from his eyes and looks at the sphere, which now seems to present a flat, matte surface.
What is it?
I don't know. The life scan just went off the scale.
Justin's gloved finger extends towards the flat surface. His finger sinks into a thick fluid and picks out a globule, which is almost immediately drawn back into the fluid.
There's wrong stuff. Pull him out. Pull him out.
Justin sticks his entire hand in. He tries to pull it back. His eyes register panic. Justin is pulled in bodily. His lifeline pays out at speed. They lock off Justin's lifeline. The resulting jolt seems to cause a massive blowback of energy from the strange pool of liquid. The bubble of energy, now bright white, blasts along the walkway of the ship. The door of the sick bay in which stands Miller is blown violently inwards. Miller himself is blown off his feet and flung backwards several meters to collide with the wall. Aboard the Lewis and Clark, Weir and Stark are locked in their chairs. Then the blast smashes into them, throwing them to the deck amid showers of sparks. Numerous small fires have taken hold in the bridge room.
Boarding party, sound off. This is Miller. Can anybody hear me?
On board the Lewis and Clark, Smith is furiously trying to extinguish the flames.
What the fuck was that?
Our chauffeur, you'll see! We've lost the starboard baffle! The hull's been breached!
I'll contain you here for as long as I can! Get out!
We're losing air, Miss
Mayor! There are pressure suits in the airlock! Go!
Here I come!
Cooper is tracing Justin's lifeline to where it disappears into the fluid.
Hold on, baby bear! I'm almost there.
Justin re-emerges from the fluid.
I got you! Oh, watch out! I got you! What? Fuck this! Hold on!
Captain Miller! You copy! Over!
Smitty, where you been all my life?
We have a major situation here! We've lost the starboard tackle and the hull's being breached! The safety tank is failed!
Do we have time for a well?
No, sir! We've got 218 litres of gas left, sir! And then we've got nothing! The oxygen tanks, they failed, they're broken! Sir, we are fucking dead!
What about the ML Derizer?
What?
She's got air and power!
It's our only chance!
There's no way I'm getting on that bastard! We don't even know what happened on that ship!
It's being saved, Mr. Smith!
I want all personnel on board the Event Horizon pronto. We'll meet at the air tanks.
I'm ahead of you, sir, bringing all thermal units online. Hold tight, prep for G's, gravity in 5 seconds.
As gravity kicks in, the mutilated corpse falls to the deck and smashes like glass. Pieces of equipment suddenly regain weight and fall to the floor. In the core chamber, pockets of fluid sluice down from above onto Cooper and Justin. Peters looks on in horror as the hand of the smashed corpse rolls over the deck. The Event Horizon hovers amidst the clouds and lightning of Neptune's atmosphere. Lights go on along the full length of the huge ship. Captain Miller looks through an area of windscreen which has been scraped free of frost.
Dr. Weir.
Well, I brought most primary systems online. For now.
Thank you. Stark, what's our status?
The antennae array is completely fried. We've got no radio, no laser, no high gain. No one's coming to help us. This air tastes bad.
Yeah, carbon dioxide, I know.
It's building up with every breath we take. And the CO2 filters on the Event Horizon are shot.
So we take the scrubbers from the Clark. That gives us what?
Enough breathable air for 20 hours. But after that, we'd better be on our way home.
Lightning flashes above the vast, elongated cross-shape of the Event Horizon. The tiny Lewis and Clark juts out at the perpendicular from the gantry. Smoke seems to be issuing from the rear port side of the craft.
I'm on the port side of the hull approaching the dorsal heatsink. Holy shit.
Smith surveys the damage, which appears extensive.
Captain Miller! Captain Miller, do you copy? Over.
I copy, Mr. Smith. How's my ship?
Sir, we've got a 7-meter fracture on the outer hull. We should be able to repair her, but it's going to take an awful lot of time, sir.
Negative. 20 hours, we run out of air.
Understood, sir.
What happened here, Doctor?
Miller and Weir gaze at the awful red mess on the walls of the bridge room. Weir has absolutely no answer. Peters enters the sick bay.
Okay. How is he?
His vital signs seem stable. But he's unresponsive to stimuli. I don't know.
He gazes into Justin's eyes.
And I'll wake up in 15 minutes. I don't wake up at all.
Look, Skipper, I know this shit sounds weird, but, I mean, it was like nothing. And then Justin appeared and it was liquid. And the whole core just turns out.
It's just not physically possible.
Doctor, please, don't start in with that physics shit. I'm telling you, I saw it.
Mr. Cooper,
it would mean the gateway was open.
Well, then that's it. The gateway was open. That's
the gateway couldn't be open because the gravity drive wasn't activated.
Look, I'm telling you what I saw, Doc, so
fuck up. Just got on by itself.
Mr. Cooper, you are out of line.
Doctor, Mr. Justin may die. Now, I have to assume that whatever happened to him could happen to all of us. Mr. Cooper says he saw something. I believe he saw something. I need an explanation.
In my view, Mr. Cooper's delusional, if you don't mind my saying so. But maybe he saw an optical effect caused by gravitational distortion.
An optical effect? That's fucking poetic. Where the fuck?
Cooper!
Gravitational distortion. What could create that, Doctor?
If somehow a burst of gravity waves escaped from the core, it could distort space-time, it could make Justin seem to disappear, it could also have damaged the Lewis and Clark. However, I think this is entirely unlikely.
What's in the core, Doctor?
It's complicated.
Well, how much time do you need? We have 17 hours and 48 minutes. What's in the core?
This is the gateway. Now, these three magnetic rings, when they align, it creates an artificial black hole, which allows the ship to travel to any point in space.
A black hole, the most destructive force in the universe. And you've created one?
Absolutely, yes, because we can use that immense power to bend space-time. Look. It'll take the Lewis and Clark 1,000 years to reach our nearest star. But the Event Horizon could be there in a day.
If it worked.
You can come down. It's perfectly safe.
Miller and then Stark move down to join Weir by the core.
So if Mr. Justin was sucked through your gateway, he could have gone wherever the Event Horizon's been?
Theoretically, yes. But as I told you before, a gateway can't just open by itself.
I see. Lieutenant, I want this room sealed off. Second containment from here on in is off limits.
Yes, sir.
Captain, there's no danger. The gateway's contained behind three magnetic fields. It's perfectly safe.
Safe? Doctor, my ship is in pieces and one of my crewmen may not make it home alive. No one else goes near this thing.
The vast patterned sphere and rings continue to rotate. Weir stares transfixed. Justin lies on his sickbay bed.
Come on. There's gotta be something on this log. Do this. DJ!
Peters, hearing the strange noise for a second time, looks warily around the sickbay. Nothing untoward appears to be happening.
DJ, where are you?
I'm up on deck 4.
Peters gets up cautiously to investigate. She picks up a surgical saw for self-defense and walks slowly further into the sick bay. One of the beds is shrouded in greenish tent nylon. A light shines from within this, and something brushes down the inside of the fabric, causing the mysterious noise. She moves closer, steels herself, and then rips off the cover. A young boy in a hooded parka looks up. It is the boy in the wheelchair from Peter's family video.
Mommy?
They both look down at the boy's legs, which are covered with hideous deep wounds and lesions. Peters puts her hands to her head as her face contorts in horror.
Peters!
Peters looks back. There is no child.
What is it? You right?
An airlock hatch slides open. From out of a cloud of mist walks a fully suited astronaut. As the astronaut removes his helmet, Cooper approaches.
What's up?
You was out there so long, I thought you were trying to break my record.
Listen, I'd rather spend the next 12 hours outside than another 5 seconds in this shit can.
It's the final entry in the ship's log.
I want to say how proud I am of my crew. I'd like to name my station heads. Chris Chambers, Janice Rubin, Ben Fender, Dick Smith. We've reached safe distance.
This is John Kilpack, ship's captain.
And are preparing to engage the gravity drive and open the gateway to Proxima Centauri. Ave atque vale. Hail and farewell.
What is that?
I'll run it through a few filters, see if I can clean it up.
The main lights go out.
It's a power drain.
It's the core.
Stay here. Look after Justin. I don't want anybody else near that thing. Wait for me, Doctor! What's causing the drain?
Magnetic fields are holding. Maybe a short in the failsafe circuit. I'll check it. Can you give us a hand?
Weir, with the assistance of Captain Miller, opens a hatch in the wall of the core chamber. Steam gushes out. Weir crawls through a square shaft illuminated on all sides by lurid green lights. Back up in the sick bay, Justin's prone body is juddering and jerking as if he were a rag doll. DJ re-enters and drops what he is carrying in astonishment.
Justin! Justin, can you hear me?
Please come!
Who's coming?
The dark.
Weir continues to crawl through a vast labyrinth of green glowing shafts. Weir rounds a corner and notices a small puff of smoke coming from a panel in the wall of the shaft. He sits down and gently slides out from the wall what looks like a board of computer circuitry. As he is about to get busy with his screwdriver, Weir looks up as if something has spooked him. Weir deftly removes a tiny disc of clear material from the board. Weir's eyes widen in panic. The lights in the entire length of the shaft are gradually extinguished, leaving Weir in utter blackness. Weir flicks on a small blue flashlight. Green light panels in the shaft glow on and off haphazardly.
Billy.
Weir, now utterly spooked, backs up the shaft on his hands and knees, the narrow beam of his torch cutting through the blackness, the green panels flashing on and off.
Miller! Captain Miller! I've got some problems here!
Weir desperately bangs his fading torch. He is confronted by the red-eyed Claire.
Be with me. Forever.
Weir, his torch now back on, sits in the fully illuminated shaft, staring around in utter confusion.
Dr. Weir!
Miller turns to see that one section of the pool of liquid surrounding the revolving magnetic core is beginning to bubble up. The bubbling liquid bursts into flames, causing Miller to stagger backwards. Miller looks on in horror as a human figure emerges from the liquid, itself in flames. The figure opens staring white eyes. The huge hull of the Event Horizon slides along in space.
So I can produce hallucinations, impaired judgment.
God damn it, DJ, it was not a hallucination. Doctor, you were in the duct. You must have heard something. You must have seen something.
I did. About an hour ago, I saw my son lying on the examination table. And his legs were...
Miss, if you don't mind my saying so, it sounds a little like shock. Could it be that you're traumatized by seeing the body of...
No, excuse me, no! I've seen bodies before. This was different.
She's right. Now, this is real. I felt heat. This is not something that's in our heads. Smitty, have you seen anything unusual at all?
No, I haven't seen anything, and I don't need to see anything, sir, but I can tell you. This ship is fucked.
Well, thank you for that scientific analysis, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, well, you don't need to be...
Fuck your son! Figure it out, do you?
All right, Doctor.
I mean, you break all the laws of physics, and you seriously think there would be a price? I mean, you already killed the last fucking crew! I know you want to kill us as well! Fuck!
Get the fucking ship, all right?
Just a ship. Do you understand? It's just a big hunk of metal. There's nothing odd going on.
DJ?
DJ has Smith by the neck.
Hi.
Hey.
You alright?
Yeah.
That's enough! I want you calm! I want you cool! Now!
Alright.
You're going back upstairs. You're going outside on the Clark with Cooper. You're gonna repair the ship. No mistakes. Mistakes, nobody goes home. Understood?
Yes, sir. Alright. Sir, get moving.
Smith pulls himself together and walks out, throwing a look at Weir as he goes. Miller walks along one of the ship's gangways.
Miller.
What is it, Stark?
I ran the bioscan with the DNA RNA filters. The results were bio-readings...
of an indeterminate origin, yes, I know. Don't you have anything useful to tell me, Lieutenant?
I've got a theory.
Let's hear it.
I think that there's a connection between the readings and the hallucinations, like they're all part of a defensive reaction, some sort of immune system.
I don't have time to listen to this.
You have to listen to me.
To what?
I'm saying that the ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
It's as if the ship brought back something with it, a life force of some kind.
What are you telling me, that this ship is alive?
You wanted an answer, and it's the only one I've got.
No, what I want, Lieutenant, is to survive the next 10 hours.
The huge bulk of the Event Horizon hangs suspended among thick clouds. The walls of the sickbay are hung with lurid green X-ray pictures of skulls. Peters stands looking down at Justin, who now lies perfectly still, indeed seemingly lifeless, on his examination table. Peters paces down to the end of the sickbay, and then back again, passing Justin's prone body. She looks out of the doorway, stretches and massages her neck. She walks back and then stops dead, looking down at the now empty examination table.
Justin? Justin? Justin?
The bang seems to have come from a blue-lit Perspex chamber. The main lights in the sickbay have all shut down and the blue light from the chamber now begins to flash. A sign within the chamber reads, "Biohazard, warning." Peters stares at the chamber, breathing hard. An explosion behind Peters causes showers of sparks to rain down on her. She races out of the sickbay in utter panic and veers through metal-walled corridors to the bridge where Weir sits in a chair. DJ and Stark are at work.
Did you hear that?
What is it?
What did you hear?
What is it?
Peters! Listen to me. It's DJ, all right? I didn't hear anything. Neither of us heard anything. So just calm down, right?
Okay.
Get your breath back.
Okay.
Now, tell me.
I will.
The hatch Peters just closed is being dented from outside. Stark gets Weir in an arm lock.
My current environment locked away self-control is an asset.
She releases him. The crew rush to the controls.
What is it?
The forward airlock.
Miller, Smith, Cooper, anyone in the airlock?
That's a negative, Stark.
Justin. Come in. We have an emergency.
What's going on in there, Stark?
Justin's in the airlock.
Say again.
Justin is in the airlock and he is not wearing a suit.
Yes. I'm on it.
As you were, sailor.
Skipper, you need me on it.
I need you right where you are.
He's engaged the override. Can you shut it down? I'll try.
Coming to him, Stark.
Justin!
Open this door! Now!
Stark, give me status.
You better hurry, he's engaged the override and we can't open the inner door.
I'll get the kid.
Justin! Open the door!
Justin turns slowly to look through the window at Peters.
Justin! Open the door!
Did you hear it?
Keep him talking. Yes. Yes, I heard it. Do you know what it is?
It shows you things. Horrible things.
What does?
The dark inside me from the other place. I won't go back there. I won't.
No, baby bear. Come on, open the door.
What's happening?
I don't think she can talk him down.
He's better. He opens the airlock, he's going to turn inside out.
No! No, you stay with me!
Almost got it. I've almost got it.
You stay with me, Justin! Come on, now open that door!
If you could see the things I've seen, you wouldn't try to stop me.
No, that's not you talking! That's not you talking! That's it! That's it! Right there, open the door! Go for that button, come on! Okay. Okay.
Captain, Justin just activated the door. It's on a 30-second delay.
Justin!
Stand by for decompression in 25 seconds.
Where am I? Hey.
Stark, gotta fucking open!
Hey, open the door.
I can't! The inner door won't open when the outside door's been triggered. It would decompress the entire ship!
Oh my god. Mama Bear, open the door. Come on, please. Captain!
Patch me through to him.
Captain Miller, tell them to open the door.
You can't do that, Justin.
I don't want to die in here.
You're not going to die. I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I'm going to get you out of there.
Justin's veins begin to bulge out.
Oh, my God. It's starting. My eyes.
Don't think about him. Shut him. Just shut him as tight as you can.
5 seconds.
Tuck yourself into a crouched position. Make yourself into a ball. Now.
I can't breathe. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I want you to huff and puff and blow all the air out of your lungs. You hear me? All the air out of your lungs, Justin. Do it now!
The outer door opens and Justin spins out into space, blood issuing from his mouth. Miller detaches his magnetic boots from the hull and launches himself forward to catch Justin and take him back inside.
Okay, baby bear. I got him. I got him! Stand by, people! Stand by!
We've got pressure!
I'm coming, Justin! Hurry!
What? Bring it up and take 5 minutes here, Chase. Hold this head, sir!
Okay!
Give me some more medicine, now!
Christ,
he's bleeding out, but he's still dropping.
Weir sits in the bridge chair. He seems to be lost in very troublesome thoughts. The image of the magnetic core flashes up repeatedly.
I stopped the bleeding. Stabilized him best I can.
He won't be pretty, but he should live.
If we make it back,
we'll make it. Stark, what's our time like?
CO2 levels will become toxic in 4 hours.
All right. Peters, we've got to find out what happened to the other crew before the same thing happens to us.
Well, I can work on the log on the bridge, but I won't go back to medical.
Fine. Yes, sir.
Justin said something about the dark inside me. What's that mean?
Doctor?
I don't think it means anything.
Miller is clearly not satisfied with this and pursues Weir.
Won't you walk away from me, mister? I'd like some answers, Doctor. I'd like to know why one of my men tried to commit suicide by throwing himself out of an airlock. I'd like to know what caused that noise.
Look, thermal changes in the hull could have caused the metal to expand and contract rapidly, causing reverberations. This is possible.
Bullshit! You built this fucking ship. You've given me nothing but bullshit.
What do you want me to say?
You said the ship's drive creates a gateway.
Yeah.
To what?
I don't know.
Where did it go? Where did you send it?
I don't know.
Where's it been for the last 7 years?
Look, I don't know.
I don't know is not good enough, Doctor. You're supposed to be the fucking expert. I need answers. That's your job. Now, the other place. Where is that?
I don't know. I don't know. Look, there's a lot of things happening around here that I don't fully understand. I need time.
I see. Well, that's exactly what we don't have, Doctor.
Miller stalks off.
Captain!
Miller, now alone at a junction in the ship's maze of corridors, stops to listen. Miller stares all around.
Don't leave me!
Miller turns, as if uncertain what to do. Finally, he rests his forehead against the wall.
It's in your head. It's just in your head.
An image of blood and pain flashes up. Miller, shocked, moves away from the arch of the doorway, looking all around him with dark, brooding eyes.
God help us.
Miller sits in a corridor talking to DJ.
I'm telling you, it was his voice I heard. He was calling to me. A young bosun named Eddie Couric. We served on the Goliath together. When the O2 tanks ruptured, four of us made it to the lifeboat, but Couric was still on board the Goliath when the fire broke out. You ever seen fire in zero gravity? It's beautiful. It's like liquid. It slides all over everything. Comes up in waves. And they just kept hitting him. Wave after wave. He was screaming for me to save him.
What did you do?
I did the only thing I could. I closed the lifeboat hatch and I left him behind. I swore I'd never lose another man.
I've known you a long time. You never told me that.
That's just it, DJ. I never told anybody. But this ship knew about it. It knows my fears. It knows my secrets. Gets inside your head and it shows you.
I wasn't going to tell you this.
I've been listening to the distress signal. And I, think I made a mistake in the translation.
Go on.
I thought it said, Liberate me. Save me. But it's not me. It's liberate tutte me. Save yourself. And it gets worse. There. I think that says X in fairies. Save yourself from hell. Look. If what Dr. Wade tells us is true, this ship has been beyond the boundaries of our universe, of known scientific reality. Who knows where it's been, what it's seen, and what it's brought back with it.
From hell. You don't believe in that kind of stuff, do you?
Whoever sent that message, he sure believes in hell.
Captain Miller!
Whatever it is, Coop, it better be good.
Yes, sir. Ready to repressurize the clock and get the hell out of here.
On my way.
Miller pulls a lever.
Come on, baby, don't let me down.
The bridge of the Clark comes back to life.
Hello, baby. Papa's home.
She's holding.
Oh, shit.
Skipper, we're still bidding trace gases. Give me about 20 minutes to plug the hole.
Mr. Cooper, you are the lifesaver. 20 minutes and we're underway.
Peters and Stark work at a computer console.
Shit. Want any coffee?
Yeah. It's cold.
Great.
Peters presses a button and then turns from the screen to take a swig of the cold coffee. What she sees on the screen suddenly makes her drop the cup.
Stark! Miller?
The crew of the Event Horizon are engaged in an orgy of blood and gore like some medieval painting of hell. Miller and DJ look in horror and disgust at the screen. Miller throws a look at DJ.
We're leaving. No, we can't leave. Our orders are specific.
Rescue the crew, salvage what's left of the ship. The crew is dead, Doctor. Your ship killed them.
We came here to do a job.
We're aborting, Doctor! Stark, download the files from the Event Horizon's computers. DJ, I want you to get Justin prepped and ready to move him back to the Clark.
Stuff I want to get from medical. Gotta move him in the tank.
No problem, do it.
Peters?
I want you to get the CO2 scrubbers back into the Clark. Take Smitty with you.
Captain. Don't do this.
It's done.
Come out my ship. You can't just leave her.
I have no intention of leaving her, Doctor. I will take the Lewis and Clark to a safe distance, and then I will launch attack missiles at the Event Horizon until I'm satisfied she's vaporized. Fuck this ship.
God. Weir grabs Miller's shoulder, but the captain wheels round and pushes him back. As they square up, the lights along the walkway go out.
Captain Miller, the bioscan just went off the scale. It looks like the core is draining power from the rest of the ship.
Get the files. Vacate. I want off this ship.
You can't leave. She won't let you.
You just get your gear and get back on the Lewis and Clark, Doctor, or you'll find yourself walking home.
I am home.
Jesus, can we go? This place is really freaking me out.
Yeah, you want to breathe on the way home.
What? Don't! Let's go!
Shit! 25!
Come on!
We need 25!
Peter!
No! Not it!
They finish stripping out the CO2 scrubbers from the walls of the core chamber. Smith hurries away. Peters picks up the last bundle. She looks back towards the core and then heads away up the walkway. Something makes her stop. The boy in the wheelchair stretches out his arms as if to her. She sees a small boy run across the doorway of the core chamber. The tiny reflection of the enormous revolving core glints in her own pupil. She heads back towards the core. Peters stands looking at the core. A small shadowy figure slips away into a duct in the wall. She follows to see the boy disappear around a corner. Peters comes to stand within a deep shaft. A ladder extends upwards. The boy crosses a landing somewhere up the shaft. Peters climbs the ladder, finally emerging onto the landing. She looks all around and then heads off down a narrow passageway. She bends over, exhausted. An image flashes up of Peters lying in a pool of blood. She straightens up and sees, standing in an archway, the figure of the boy. He has his back turned and his parka hood up. He turns to face her and smiles. She smiles in enormous relief and walks towards him. She falls down a deep shaft all the way back into the core chamber and smashes into a half-submerged metal grid. Peters lies still but swallows painfully. Above her, the boy kneels at the edge of the shaft, still smiling. He then disappears into the swirling mist. Weir opens the hatch and enters the core chamber. He stands surveying the revolving core. Then he looks to his left and moves down the slope.
Oh no, Peters.
He inspects Peters's body. Her eyes seem to be taking on a reddish glaze. Weir moves away, looking about warily.
Claire?
Weir is now in a bathroom. He sees Claire in a mirror.
Claire. It's me. I'm home.
She applies lipstick in the mirror.
I know I wasn't there when you needed me. And I'm sorry. I let my work come between us. God, Claire, no. Beck, please, please, don't. Not again, please. Been so...
Claire slits her wrist in the bath.
It's so...
Billy. It's all right.
I'm so alone.
You'll never be alone again. You're with me now. You're with me. And I have such wonderful, wonderful things to show you.
Claire places her hands on Weir's temples. He kneels, back now in the core chamber, clutching his bleeding eyes. A futuristic power tool shoots a rivet through the damaged hull of the Lewis and Clark.
Damn, I'm good!
Coop, how long are you going to take? Because I've got to get the hell out of here.
Look, you can kiss my ass, Smith, because I'm done. Just give me a second to collect my tools, and we can get out of Dodge. 2 minutes, stop.
Roger that.
Smith's attention is drawn to something. Through a glass screen, he sees Weir descending on a lift.
Weir! Dr. Weir! 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 Dr. Weir, get your ass back aboard now! Weir!
Captain Miller, do you copy? Over.
Captain Miller, do you copy? Over.
Go ahead, Smitty.
I've just seen Weir messing around on the Clark, sir.
Stand by, Smitty. I want to check something out. Smith, get out of there.
Come again, sir?
One of the explosives is missing from the corridor. Weir might have put it on the Clark.
No way. No, sir. No way. I've just put it back together, sir.
Get off the Clark now, Smith!
Smith wrenches crates this way and that in his desperate search for the explosive. Miller runs along the gangway.
Fucking hell are you?
Smith continues to ransack the loading bay. Miller runs desperately along the gangway. Smith clutches his head and gazes around him. His own locker seems to catch his attention.
Gotcha.
Hey, Smitty, I'm coming!
Smith rips back a canvas cover to reveal the explosive device. The counter reads 05, 04, 03. Smith winces and hangs his head.
No!
Miller looks out to see the Lewis and Clark being blown to pieces. Cooper, still out on the wing, looks round to see the wall of flame approaching. He is swept off his feet. Miller watches through the window of the airlock hatch as a roiling storm of red fire melts the umbilicus between the two craft. The inner hatch slides open and Miller staggers back into the event horizon, collapsing against the wall of the hull. He clutches his dog tag and closes his eyes. Grim-faced, he begins banging his head against the wall. Cooper speeds through space on a piece of debris.
Shit! Where the fuck am I going? Why is this shit gonna happen to me? Fuck. Alright, think. Alright, I gotta get back to the ship. Alright? Alright, I gotta blow my air tank. Alright, fuck. Oh, this better work. This shit better work. Alright, here I go. Alright, 1, 2, 3. Come on, yes! Here I come, motherfuckers!
Cooper launches himself into space. DJ hurriedly packs supplies in the sickbay. Miller stands up.
DJ!
What was that?
Clark's gone. Smitty and Cooper are dead.
What?
It was Weir. You spot him, you take him out.
Understood.
Careful, DJ.
Don't worry about Weir. I'll take care of him.
DJ turns to be confronted by Weir. His empty eye socket's a bloody mess. Weir grabs him by the throat and lifts him bodily with one hand.
DJ?
Weir throws DJ across the sickbay to smash into the wall. He picks him up again and throws him onto a trolley of equipment. Weir slaps the unconscious DJ down onto an operating table. Weir's bloody hands select a scalpel and other items of surgical equipment. DJ's eyes open in horror. Blood gurgles from his mouth. As Weir's dripping hands busy themselves with various sharp implements and suture needles, DJ mercifully expires. Miller rushes headlong through the corridors of the ship. He arrives in the doorway of the sickbay and stops dead. DJ's body is suspended grotesquely by wires sewn into the skin of his back. The front of his body gapes open, its contents are strewn over the operating table. A small metal plate reads, "Hull repair." Miller goes to a locker and gets out a rivet gun.
Okay, Dr. Weir. You don't want to leave your ship? You never will.
Miller cautiously enters through the hatchway into the bridge, holding the rivet gun out in front of him. The bridge is in semi-darkness and slightly misty. Miller scans the lighted computer consoles. Something to his left catches his attention. He stealthily rounds a corner into a side area of the bridge room. A spacesuit stands sentinel. Miller swings round another corner, presenting his weapon. There is nothing there except the rungs of a ladder. Miller notices a body on the floor.
Stark.
He checks her for signs of life. Then, looking all around him and with enormous caution, he fetches a small box out of the sleeve pocket of his overalls. He gets out a capsule and snaps it, then holds it to Stark's nose. She is jolted back into consciousness.
It's okay.
Miller helps Stark to her feet and holds her up with an arm around her shoulder. The bridge chair slowly revolves, revealing the slumped form of Dr. Weir. He raises his head to show his scarred and blood-spattered face and the wreckage of his eyes.
Oh my God. What happened to your eyes?
Where we're going, we won't need eyes to see.
What are you talking about?
I created the event horizon to reach the stars. But she's gone much, much farther than that. She tore a hole in our universe, the gateway to another dimension. A dimension of pure chaos. Pure evil. When she crossed over, she was just a ship. But when she came back, she was alive. Look at her, Miller. Isn't she beautiful?
Your beautiful ship killed its crew, Doctor.
Well, now she has another crew. Now she has us.
Weir presses an illuminated screen on which are marked the words Gateway and 10 minutes.
What do you think you're doing, Doctor?
You wanted to know where the ship has been. So now you'll find out.
Stark rushes Weir, holding a heavy cylinder over her head. Weir simply grabs her by the throat and tosses her away. then turns the rivet gun on Miller.
You miss me, you blow out the hull.
What makes you think I'll miss?
That's right, I'm back! I'm... Oh, shit, I can't stop!
Cooper, having miraculously appeared outside the window of the bridge, leaps away to avoid the rivet shot at him by the ghastly apparition of Dr. Weir. The rivet pierces the glass and it shatters violently outwards. Weir is still in the chair and shoots at Miller, who leaps out of the way. As the spaceship depressurizes, Miller has to grapple desperately to avoid being sucked out of the smashed window. The bolts holding down Weir's chair begin to strain. A fire extinguisher becomes detached from its mounting and hurtles through the bridge, smashing the rivet gun from Weir's grasp. Miller is pulled bodily across the floor by the escaping pressure. Weir's chair is wrenched from its mooring and crashes through the bridge towards the window. It becomes snagged on the window frame, and it seems for a moment that Weir may have been thrown into space. But no, he's on the floor, clinging with all his strength to the metal grilling. The floor panel bends upwards, but still Weir clings on. Miller shrieks. Weir loses his grip and is hurled out through the aperture and off into space. Miller loses his grip too, but manages to grab onto a cable. He pulls himself desperately along the cable, which leads through the hatch door. As he heaves himself through the hatch, Stark crawls across the floor of the bridge close by. Miller spots her and tries to go to her aid. The hatch door, however, is trying to automatically seal itself. Miller jams it open with a metal implement. Miller struggles to extend his hand to reach Stark's. She is struck by a piece of flying debris.
Come on! I'm not leaving you!
The metal tool with which Miller has jammed the door begins to give. Miller now has hold of Stark's hands and is straining to pull her through the hatchway. The tool starts to buckle. Miller pulls her to safety just in time. Their moment of respite is short-lived.
Forward airlock.
The pair dash through the corridor. The airlock door flashes.
Can't be Weir.
I'm not taking any chances. You watch your back.
Miller grabs a huge pair of bolt cutters, Stark a hefty wrench, and they take up a position outside the airlock. The doors slide open, and out from the steam comes Cooper.
Hit me!
Cooper!
Hang on! Hang on! I can't breathe!
You're okay. It's over.
No, it's not. Weir's activated the gravity drive. We gotta shut it down.
How? The bridge is gone.
What about engineering? You think you can shut it down from there?
I don't know the process. Dr. Weir was the expert.
Look, I don't want to go without a crew in. Okay, I'd rather be dead.
Okay. Okay, we blow the fucker up.
We blow it up?
Do like Weir said. Blow the corridor. Separate us from the rest of the ship. Use the Fordex as a lifeboat. With any luck, TDRS will pick up our emergency beacon. We prep the gravity couches, put ourselves in stasis, and stand by for a search and rescue team. Meantime, I'm gonna go manually arm these explosives.
Skipper, would this shit work?
It worked for Dr. Weir. You go activate the emergency beacon, you get back here double quick.
Yes, sir.
I'll come with you.
You stay here, you prep the gravity couches.
Miller?
Close this door behind me, Lieutenant.
Stark stands watching him run down the corridor until the hatch slides shut. Miller inspects the explosive charges.
Gateway opening in T-minus 5 minutes.
Cooper works frantically.
Emergency beacon activated.
Blood.
Cooper notices blood dripping onto the back of his hand. He looks up to see it coursing through the ceiling ducts and oozing out of the walls.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck me!
Stark!
Stark turns from the door hatch and looks in horror at the glass column in the chamber where she stands. Formerly full of green fluid, it is now bright red. It shatters and blood gushes out. Stark Clark is thrown to the deck by the deluge of blood. Cooper rushes into a ladder shaft and shouts up.
Stop!
Gateway opening in T minus 3 minutes. Detonator release is authorized. The main corridor is now armed.
We're armed, she's ready to blow. I repeat, we are armed, she's ready to blow.
Miller! Miller, can you hear me?
We have to get out of here, now!
You let me burn!
Miller's nightmare of the burning man stands on the suspended walkway. He sends a ball of flame racing down the gangway. Miller flees before it. The hatch door to the core chamber is closing, but Miller just manages to leap through the shrinking aperture. A jet of flame narrowly misses his head.
Gateway opening in T minus 2 minutes.
Miller looks back at the hatch door. Smoke billows through the seals. He turns to see that the chamber and the revolving core itself are ablaze. The burning man appears right next to him.
Miller!
The burning man swings an arm at Miller, sending him flying through the air and igniting his clothing. Miller crashes to the deck and then rolls down into the pool of liquid surrounding the core, which now appears to be blood.
You left me behind!
No, your dad had been caught. I watched him die.
The burning man metamorphoses into the hideously scarred Weir.
Weir?
The ship brought me back. I told you she won't let me leave. She won't let anyone leave.
Did you really think you could destroy this ship? She's defied space and time. She's been to a place you couldn't possibly imagine. And now, it is time to go back.
I know. To hell.
You know nothing. Hell is only a word. The reality is much, much worse.
Miller takes a swing at Weir, but Weir grabs him.
Let me show you.
Weir presents a vision to Miller of the utmost vileness, his crew members covered in blood, bound in wire, and being horribly tortured.
No!
You see?
No! They're not dead! They're not dead!
Not yet.
Miller finds a metal tube. Weir, uncannily impervious to Miller's blows, grabs the tube and decks Miller with a fearsome punch, then kicks him across the chamber floor. The core grinds to a halt. One of the panels unlocks.
They're not your crew anymore. They belong to the ship.
Miller spots the detonator lying on the deck and crawls painfully towards it through the pool of blood.
Take me! You take me! You leave them alone!
Now, there is no escape.
The gangway is open, and you are all coming with me!
Do you see?
More vile images flash up. Miller strains for the detonator.
Do you see?
Do you see?
Yes. I see.
Miller presses the button. Weir's eyes open wide in horror. Through the corridor connecting the two hulls of the Event Horizon rolls an enormous ball of flame. More charges blow along the extended gantry. Miller's face registers grim satisfaction. The gantry now fully disintegrates. The lifeboat section of the vessel detaches and glides away. Cooper and Stark are thrown violently to the deck. The lifeboat speeds away through concentric rings of flame. The remains of the Event Horizon hang in space, forks of lightning playing off the hull. It explodes in a searing flash of white light and is sucked down into the vortex which opens below it. The ship disappears and the vortex begins to close over. Cooper and Stark come to and watch from a window as the whirlpool of clouds swirls shut. They exchange a look. Cooper turns and moves away. Stark turns back to look through the glass. A printout reads 72 days later.
This is Rescue 1. We have contact. Approaching the wreckage of the Event Horizon. Prepare to board.
In darkness, the four petals of a hatch door slide open, revealing a misty blue light from which step three astronauts.
I'm entering the grav couch bay. It doesn't appear to have been damaged in the explosion. There appear to be three survivors. Cooper, Justin, Lieutenant Stark. Justin seems to have suffered massive injuries, but he's still alive. The grav couches still have power. I'm opening the first tank now.
The rescue astronaut opens Stark's stasis pod.
It's all right. It's okay. You're safe now.
Justin, Cooper.
They're fine. They're fine. They're with us.
They're with us.
In Stark's nightmare, the astronaut becomes Weir.
Stark!
Hey, calm. It's all right.
Calm down,
it's
speak.
All right. Breathe deeply.
Stark.
Breathe deeply.
It's the rescue.
I need a sedative here now.
I got you, Stark. I got you.
It's okay. I need a sedative
Stark.
Here now.
It's the rescue team. We're safe.
Okay. I need it now.
We're safe.
The end.